are continuing our eight-part series on the book of 1 Corinthians. And what the chapter we're going to do today is one of my all-time favorites in the Bible. Like, I look at 1 Corinthians 13, it's known as the love chapter, a little bit of love. It's known as the love chapter, and it feels like the crescendo of 1 Corinthians. You know, it's this incredible chapter, and it's all about love, and it's this picture of love, and it's just amazing, and I just love it, love it, love it. I remember when I was, when I was on vacation, I had the privilege of seeing this person a week ago today, and when I was a teenager, I was not interested in church. I didn't talk to God. I didn't read the Bible. I pretty much just thought about what life was going to be like after high school. What's going to be like? What's going to happen? What am I supposed to do with my life? I thought about joining the Air Force at one time. I thought about just all sorts of things, different career paths. That's all I really thought about. And one night, my mom told me that she really wanted me to go to this youth group. And there was a leader there that talked to me. Oh, okay. So somebody from the youth group talked to me. And they made me feel accepted. And made me feel welcome. They made me feel like I mattered. So, you know what happened? I went back the next week. So I went back. And I ended up sticking with it. And eventually, I felt God lead me into ministry. And so that's kind of all how that happened. But believe it or not, this youth leader is, like I said, still in my life. Just saw him last Sunday. He lives in Wisconsin. And he's very important to me. And here's the thing. I couldn't tell you, if my life depended on it, I couldn't tell you what he said to me. Like, I couldn't tell you what he spoke, you know, most Wednesday nights. I couldn't tell you what he preached on. But I do remember feeling loved, you know? And he loved me, and it opened me up to let God transform me. Somebody loving me. And maybe you have a similar story. It wasn't preaching. It wasn't K-Love. It wasn't like an outreach that really changed your life, but it was love. It was somebody showed some love to you. Okay? Made you feel accepted. And think about the people that have had the greatest impact on you. You know, the thing that probably sticks out most is the way that they loved you. It wasn't their deep knowledge of the Bible. It wasn't their, you know, just vivacious prayers. It wasn't, you know, they didn't impress you because they made a lot of money. Any of those things. Probably what really sticks out most is the way that they loved you, right? And it makes such a huge difference. And so I want to talk about 1 Corinthians 13. What can we learn about love that can help us to have an impact on others? And that's what I want to get into in 1 Corinthians 13. Because it was love that changed my life. It was probably love that changed your life. You know, how can we love others in a way that opens them up to being transformed by Jesus? And so that's what we're going to talk about. First, let's pray real quick. God, we love you. And we thank you for your love. We thank you for your goodness. And God, we pray that you would cause your word to come alive in us today, to plant seeds, to take root, and to bear fruit. Lord, we don't want to just be hearers of the word. We want to be transformed by it, and we want to do it. And so we praise you today in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to start off. I want to do something a little different than I don't think we've ever done this before. But I want everybody to stand back up with me. I know you all just sort of settled in. And so what we're going to do is we are going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 13 together. And we're going to put it on the screen, and we're going to read it together, because I want these words to really take root in our hearts. I want these words to really be transformational. I don't want you to just sit and listen to a sermon today, okay? And so let's go ahead and put that 1 Corinthians 13, starting with verse 1. Let's say it together. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own ways. It is not irritable, and it keeps no records of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Now our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when the time of perfection comes, these partial things will become useless. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete. But then I will know everything completely, just as God knows me completely. These things will last forever. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. All right. Have a seat. Yes. Love the Word of God. Right, listen, if you remember one thing this morning, and you forget everything else, I want you to remember this, and that's that love is the greatest power. Love is the greatest power. Okay? So we have different ideas about power, don't we? We have different ideas about power. And so there's physical power, right? We flex our muscles. We build bigger bombs, right? We inflict violence on others, or we kind of bully others. That's physical power. There's that type of power. There's persuasive power. And some people are better at this than others. We cajole, we manipulate, we psychologically bully others to assist our will, right? To assert our dominance. That's a type of power. And then there's the greatest power. And the greatest power is love. Love is a greater power than physical power. Love is a greater power than persuasive power. When Jesus wanted to flex his muscle, what did he do? He stretched out his arms and he died. When Jesus wanted to demonstrate the ultimate display of power, it was a display of self-sacrificial love. That's power, okay? Love is the greatest power. And you know what happened when Jesus flexed his muscle, when he displayed his power, what happened? Changed the world. It changed the whole world. It split time, right? Between B.C. and A.D., okay, when Jesus flexed his muscle, it changed the world. He displayed his power. And love is greater than prophecy. Love is greater, okay, than knowledge. Love is even greater than faith. Okay, love is the greatest power. And the great thing about love is you don't need, like, the spiritual gift of love. You know what I'm saying? You don't need to, like, take love classes and get like your master's in love, right? You don't need that, okay? Love is the greatest power, and we're all capable of it. So what else can we learn from 1 Corinthians 13? So we know that love is the greatest power. I hope you all remember that. But love is also the greatest gift. Love is the greatest gift that you can give to somebody else. According to one study, 60%, think about that, 60% of the world's population feel like no one really loves them. Can you believe that? 60% of the world's population feel like that nobody really loves them. Nobody really sees them for who they are. They feel lonely. They feel like nobody really loves them. That's huge. That's massive. I know we've got like this tiny little Labor Day crowd in here today. What would we say, about 35, 40 people in here, maybe. So that would mean 20 people, at least. That's 60%. It's a little bit more. You're a math whiz, right? Yeah. So if there's 40 people, 25% of that is what? That's no, 60% of that is what? So it's 20, about 25-ish. Yeah, that few. Yeah, 20. Wow, 24. Okay, so feel unloved. Feel unloved. And I bet you if we sat and we just interviewed you personally and you felt super safe, you'd probably go, yeah. You know, 60% of you say, yeah, I'm not feeling so loved. You don't feel so loved. You know, and so that's huge. You know, if half the planet feels lonely and unloved, what an incredible opportunity we have. What an incredible gift that we have. Here's the cool thing. You don't need to feel loved necessarily. You don't need, you know, to still love others, right? If you're struggling and you're feeling lonely, you can still love others. And we've probably all been guilty of, like, giving, like, begrudging generosity, right? We've all been guilty of giving reluctant service. I guess I will. I don't know. If you only knew how tired I was, but I'm not going to get into that. It's all about you. You know, we've all been guilty of reluctant service. We've all been guilty of like Instagram charity, you know, or Instagram love for God. Little time in the Word, Instagram, Jesus and coffee, Instagram, you know, check how awesome I am, Instagram, you know, or giving and serving somewhere and, you know, sacrificially, and you're like, love serving sacrificially with these people, Instagram, you know. We've all been guilty of serving and giving and going without a whole lot of love, you know, behind it. But people feel... people feel a lot more ashamed for their condition than they feel loved by the Father when we don't really love them, right? And I've been guilty of that. You know, I remember there was a time, you know, I was serving down at King's Harvest and, you know, took a picture of my homeless pal down there and wrote a blog about it. You know, I've been guilty of that, you know. But we tend to make people feel ashamed instead of loved, when we're not serving out of love, right? And so love is just powerful. Love is a gift. And here's the thing about love. We can be crazy generous about our love. Crazy generous about our love. Because the thing about being crazy generous about our love is that you can give love and then not feel like, now I have less love, right? I mean, if you had $100 and you gave 20, you'd be like, well, now I only have 80, right? Except for, you know, if you trust in God and God's economy, we're not going to get into that. But you know, it's if you have love and you give away love, you're not going to have less love. In fact, you're probably going to have more love right away. There's something about showing love to others that makes us feel loved, that makes us feel full, that makes us feel whole and fulfilled. And that's the thing about love. I remember when I was a youth pastor in Connecticut, all you who knew me back in Connecticut, say ho. Okay, so... I remember I was intent on building a youth program there, right? And I remember just like working really hard, you know, to build this youth program. And I was a youth pastor there. And I remember my senior pastor, who was one of these guys who didn't say a whole lot to me, but when he did, it was like, older fatherly figure, you know? And his name was Howard. I mean, come on, like, how much more of a like older fatherly figure name can you get than like Howard, right? His name is Howard. And I remember one time Howard pulled me aside. He took me in his office. He said four words to me. He said, endear yourself to them. So I had been going around trying to build this program for them. And then he just went, you know what? Endear yourself to them. In other words, what he was saying was, let yourself fall in love with them. Just let yourself fall in love with them. And I remember that just everything changed in that moment. Everything changed. Everything changed. And so that kind of leads me to this next point. So love is the greatest power, and love is the greatest gift. But the third thing is that love treasures others. Real love, it treasures others. You know, you endear yourself to other people. You endear yourself to your coworkers. You endear yourself to your neighbors. You endear yourself to your tribe, your church tribe. You endear yourself to others. And it, but see, love treasures others. The thing about love is it's massively others-minded. Massively others-minded. You know what I love about, like, when sometimes we'll do like a potluck or something here. We love to do that. We love to sit and do potluck. And like, everybody will stand and try to get the other person to go first. Like, I love it that we're so others-minded. We're like, go right ahead. No, go. You know, it's like, well, somebody just go, you know. Because we're like, we're others-minded. And I love that. I absolutely love that. And so usually I'm like, okay, I'll let you love me, and I go, you know. But love is others-minded. It treasures other people. And I know, like it's sort of, what's the word? It's sort of trendy or popular nowadays. Everybody's calling themselves an introvert, even the people who aren't, you know. Like, statistically, you know, we have probably 40% more people claiming to be introverts than they are introverts, right? And, you know, they like to post memes on Instagram and on Facebook that say, like, just can't do people, you know. And we kind of put off this vibe like, oh, you know, people drive me nuts, and people, right? Here's the thing, though, is that God has called us to love people. God has called us to endear ourselves to people. God has called us to treasure people. In fact, Scripture tells us to value others as higher than ourselves, to esteem others as higher than ourselves. And so when we take on this attitude of not treasuring others, it's not a Christ-like love for others. And I get that. I mean, I get that. I've been there. I'm like, people are bastard-covered bastards with bastard filling, you know? I mean, like, I have been there, and I know the feeling, you know? But that is not love. That's not treasuring others. Love treasures others. Love is massively others-minded. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is humble. Others matter to love. Others matter to love. And the irony of treasuring others with honor and forgiveness as kindness is that it comes back to you. It comes back on you. When you love others, it comes back on you. When you treasure others, it comes back on you. Do you know who I would not ever want to help move? The guy who always has an excuse for not helping others move, right? Right? Like, when we love others, it just comes back on us. It comes back on us. And so love treasures others. And the next thing about love is that love has an eternal impact, right? Here's the thing is, like, we don't always have the eyes of eternity to see what's happening when we love others. Sometimes we love others and then we're just like, oh, what an ingrate. Right? We don't see the impact that we have. And we have to trust that there's enough God power in our love that it's doing a work in their life, that it's planting a seed in their life. Love has an eternal impact. Many of you have heard this story, but one of our campers who was with us 4 years ago came back to volunteer at camp, right? She was a camper 4 years ago, and she was one of them. She was being loved on. And because one of the people at our church who is like a professional lover, Lori, she's got like her MDiv in love and PhD in loving others. All she did was go up and see this girl by herself, and she went and played basketball with her. All she did was just show her a little bit of love. She showed a little bit of love. She wasn't doing it because, oh, maybe she'll come back as a volunteer one day. Right? She didn't go over and play basketball with her because she's like, hey, maybe someday she'll come and do me a favor. When I'm feeling lonely, she'll come over and she'll... No! She just said, I'm going to give a little love. And she came back. It wasn't like, you know, this camper, it's not like she heard a bunch of foster care stats and was like, I got to get involved over there. She was living it, right? It wasn't foster care stats. It wasn't like nobody went to her and said, listen, we need to talk to you. There's a need over here. It wasn't. It was love. It was love that had an impact and brought her back. It made an eternal difference in her. And so when we try to have an impact on others, not so much in a loving way, don't we? Like, we try to have an impact on others by having, like, an intellectual argument. Okay? Listen, I got some knowledge that you don't have. And you need to listen to my knowledge and be convinced because of my knowledge, and you need to make a change or whatever, right? Or you're going to, whatever. And so we try to make an impact on others through intellectual arguments. We try to make an impact on others through, some sort of like awareness bomb. You know what I'm talking about? Hashtag awareness. Oh, I'm so sick of awareness. I'm already too aware. Leave me alone. We try to make, an impact on others through awareness bombs. We try to make an impact on others through, like, Disney boycotts, right? Through, through picketing. Yes, I know, never boycott Disney. You make Linda cry. But we try to make an impact on others through different ways. But, it's love that makes the impact. It's love that makes the real impact. And just quick aside, parenthetical, if you want to read a great book about making an impact on others, John Wimber wrote a book years ago called Power Evangelism. And it talks about how they just went around like healing others and praying for others and loving others, and they just saw a real harvest. They didn't go around, debating creation versus evolution. That's not what they did. They loved in practical ways. And so if you want to make an impact on others, love. Love has an eternal impact. And the last thing is this. And I catch this, please. Love is the greatest sign of Christian spiritual growth. Love is the greatest sign of Christian spiritual growth, right? And so it's not about how many scriptures you can quote. It's not about how many people you lead or positions you hold. It's about genuine love for others. And so I had a guy challenge me on my sermons once about how much scripture I use in my sermons. And he's like, oh, man, no, I'm just giving scripture, 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 scripture. He's like, I'm just laying down scripture bombs. And I said, well, then your church must be incredibly loving. You must have like the most incredibly loving church. It must be amazing. I'm believing that those seeds that have been planted, I'm believing that they're going to, yeah, okay. So, listen, love is the greatest measure of Christian spiritual growth. If you have your head just full of scriptures, and you're like super disciplined, and you're leading, and look at me, I'm teaching, look, I was on TBN, but you don't know how to love others, something's wrong. Something is wrong. Love is the greatest measure of spiritual growth. When you love others, you honor others. You make sacrifices to them. You don't pull back when it isn't easy. The thing about love is that love costs something. Love, if you ever raise kids, you know what I'm talking about. Love costs something. It's not always easy. There's a whole lot of sacrifice. Love costs something. And so if we're truly being conformed into the image of Christ, then we're becoming more loving, right? Because look at the Gospels. I'm tongue-tied. This is so important to me. I'm so passionate about this. Read the Gospels, and it's what is Jesus doing? He's just going around loving people, right? He's healing. He's bringing love. Did he correct? Yes, but that doesn't mean he didn't love, right? Sometimes love looks that way. But, he just went. And so if we're being conformed into the image of Christ, then we're becoming more loving. And when we're becoming more loving, what happens when we become more loving? It changes the way we talk about others. You can just let that one sink in. It changes the way we talk about people we disagree with. It changes the way we talk about those in the public eye. It changes you know what I'm saying? So, like, it changes the way that we see other believers. We don't look at other believers and go, oh, man, they read that translation over there. We don't look at other believers and go, oh, man, they're not Calvinists. They're not this. They're not Reformers. They're not that. They're not, you know what I'm saying? They're filthy Catholics. We don't look at people that way. We see each other through the eyes of Christ. We're more loving. And so we're being transformed into the image of Christ. And so this morning I want to end. Listen, I just want to make a declaration to be more loving. And here's what I'm going to do. I actually have a declaration. I wrote a declaration for us. And so if you're here today and you're going, I want to love more. I want to be more loving. And I want to declare that. Then I dare you. I dare you to just stand. Make this pledge with me. And just, I'm going to read it and you're going to repeat it from me. Okay? And so let's start off. I will love others. I will give and sacrifice. Not begrudgingly or for selfish reasons, but out of love. I will be patient and kind. I will be humble and interested in others. I will be courteous, others-minded, friendly, and forgiven. I will care for the underdog, stand up for the bullied, and befriend the unpopular. I will give the gift of love when I'm not in the mood, when I'm tired, and when I'm feeling unloved myself. I will trust that God will use my love for His glory and expect nothing in return. Love is the greatest power, the greatest gift, and the greatest sign of my Christian spiritual growth. I will make it a priority and give it away generously. Amen. All right. So if our worship team wants to come back, just stay standing. You can stay standing. And the worship team, you want to come back. And we will finish up with one last song. But we have a prayer team here that would...